welcome to the Josh Talks podcast. In this episode, we hear the fascinating life story of Anurag Kashyap. Here's a guy who was not from a Bollywood family. He didn't have a formal education in filmmaking, and he actually wasn't even from Bombay. He was a young guy in the city who got into the mix of writing scripts and making movies. And somewhere along the line, he found this idea of surviving on meaningful cinema. And mind you, this is in the 90s, when there was a very clear line dividing mainstream from art house. There were no precedents for his path, but he found a course.
Hello.
And he's about to share his remarkable journey.
Hi. You can hear me? Thank you. Thank you. I'll come straight to the point. My films don't touch anybody's hearts. I like to stab people's hearts. Well, in the sense, I like to make people uncomfortable. That's the reason why I wanted to make movies. So I'll start from the beginning. And I studied at Hansraj College, Delhi. I did my graduation and I had no idea I wanted to be in movies. And that was back in 1992. 1992, I had no idea I will go and join the movies. It was the gap year that I took in 1993 that I discovered theater and I discovered cinema. And for the first time, I realized this is what I wanted to do. And I was studying to be a scientist before that. And we did not have as many options as you have today. Our options were like engineering, medicine, be a scientist, eventually go and appear for the UPSC exams. That's all we had. The MBA was like, okay, a far shot. So I went to Bombay. I decided I want to make movies. My parents were very shocked. My father is an engineer in a small town and he had dreams from me. And he was like, ye mera beta kuch karega. Or isko film mein jana hai. So I wanted to join movies and I went to Bombay and I went to Bombay with a bag full of books and clothes and I knew nothing and I knew nobody. I decided in the next moment I was in Bombay. And when I reached Bombay, I realized 1993, I remember 3rd of June, I reached Bombay. It was raining. The rains that did not stop for 3 months. I had no idea. In Bombay, rains could go on for so long. So I reached Bombay and the only place I knew was Prithvi Theatre. And I went to Prithvi Theatre. And there at Prithvi Theatre, everything was very controlled. There are a lot of people who go to Bombay to become actors. There are a lot of people who go to Bombay to do things. And everybody goes to Prithvi Theatre. In those times, they used to go to Prithvi Theatre. And it would get so crowded, so they made a rule that anybody who's not performing or is not part of it is not allowed in. So people would hang outside. That was also the time when there were no studios. Cinema was controlled mostly by a few film families. And if you're not one of the film families, you could not get in. And slowly, slowly walking around, the first thing, and being a scientific mind, I realized that the problem everybody has is they're very insecure. Nobody wants an outsider. Everybody thinks somebody will come and take what they have. And that's the reason why people don't want people coming in. And that's the reason why people blocked people out. Outsiders are not welcome. And that was the first battle that I had to fight, which was pretty big. And I realized in India, we are a country of people who like anything that's given to them free. We don't like to pay for anything. We like anything free, and that's how it all started. I went to Prithvi, and I realized Prithvi has a cafe, and I volunteered to be a waiter. I walked up to the cafe owner and said, I'm educated, I'm a graduate, and I want to work for you as a waiter. And he said, why would you want? Because we don't have a vacancy. I said, I'll work for free. And he said, but why would you work for free? I said, I'll work for free. Lunchtime, I'll serve. Dinner, you let me be. I can at least get into Prithvi. And I talked to him. And he liked talking to me and he allowed me to do that. I on the very third day, I served a classmate of mine. So I started working at Prithvi. I got into Prithvi. And slowly when I got into Prithvi, I realized I have to move faster and faster in life. And there was people who do rehearsals there. I would go and volunteer to read for anyone and anybody. So there were always readings going on. And there would always be a need for someone to do reading who would not expect much. They don't allow people because they think, wo aayega, fir role mangega, fir kuch karega. So I started doing everything. I would sweep the stage. I started reading for people. I would write very fast. My biggest skill was I could write a lot of pages a day. Then I could write 100 pages a day with hand. But now I can't. So I could write so much, I started writing stuff for free. The satellite television had just come in and they were doing daily soaps. But the problem with daily soaps was they did not know how to generate so many episodes. And I was the only guy who could do that. And I did not ask for credit, I did not ask for money. So all the daily soaps that started, starting from Shanti, Swabhiman, Trikal, I was part of everything. You would not see my name. My name first appeared on Trikal as a kind of a dialogue writer at the end of it. So I started doing that and I became that guy who, yaar, wo ladka hai, wo turant likhe deta hai, na paise mangta hai, na naam mangta hai. That is how it went on for more than a year and a half. And slowly people started giving you money. Slowly what happens, I never asked for it, people started giving me money. Then somebody gave me a credit. Then somebody stood up for me. And then finally I met a guy who gave me the credit for the entire film which I wrote, which was Satya. So, you know, it was a journey of 4 or 5 years. And in all these 3 or 4 years, the choices, every time you're faced with choices, when my daily soap started giving me credit and started giving me money, I was 22 years old and I signed a contract with Mahesh Bhatt Saab, whose contract for writing one daily soap, which was called Kabhi Kabhi, and 3 films, would give me 2.5 lakhs a month. This is back in 1995. I was 22. And at the same time, I was approached for Satya, where the deal was that we can't pay you more than 10,000 a month for, and not more than 10 months, because the entire budget was a lakh for the entire film. And that was the hard choice. That was a choice, and Mahesh Bhatt's contract was 1 month old. I'd just started to make money and started getting credit, and I got a film which had no certainty, which was not paying me more than 10,000 rupees a month, not more than 10 months, and that film took 3 years of my life. And I got paid a lakh, and I chose that over Kabhi Kabhi. So those are the choices that somehow in life take you along. And for those 3 years, every time I met someone, my own family would say, what's wrong with you? Finally, you want to do something of making money, and sometimes you feel like this is not it. That's not what you want in life. I don't want to be one of those cogs in a wheel jo jaise ja raha hai, chalta jayega. You want to do something. I had a certain idea of what the cinema that inspired me, which I saw in 1993, is the kind of cinema I wanted to create. And that cinema was not being made. If I would have stuck to making money, doing Kabhi Kabhi and all that, I would never do that. I would be part of the same system. And I wanted to go out and change things, and we wanted to disrupt the system. And I found a Ram Gopal Varma who was disrupting the system. He was an outsider who came in, who did not give a damn, whose whole life was about movies. And working with him 3 years, I learned how he made films, how he made a movie like Satya. Nobody wanted to make Satya. Things, choices that I face today, he was facing then. Nobody wanted to make Satya. Maniratnam was the biggest director. He was making a big film called Dil Se. There's a big financier. Maniratnam, who told Ram Gopal Varma, you get me that Maniratnam's film that he was wanting to make with Shah Rukh Khan, and I'll let you make Satya. So how he worked on the whole system to get Dil Se moved to the guy who produced Satya, to produce Dil Se, he's the same guy who produced Satya. Satya was like his, ki chalo iske badle mein chota sa bana lo tum. So I've seen him do all those things to get the film made, because what I learned was nobody really knows anything. Nobody really knows how to judge a script. Nobody really knows how to make a film. It's only you who know what you want to do. And nobody owes it to you. Not one person owes it to you. You want to make a film, it's your dream. You have to pursue it. The world doesn't owe it to you. Your system doesn't owe it to you. Your family doesn't owe it to you. You owe it to yourself. And when you know that, it makes things easier. When you know that, you can go out and make those choices. And choices are tough. In the sense, I made choices in life. And I know when I make those choices, I also know I am going to have to face consequences. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice will have. You can't go and say, you know, you don't know my intention. I was trying to make this film with such a great intention, the world doesn't get it. I make a bomb alert, there's a consequence. I live with that consequence. That consequence will be the choices that I'll make in the future. That consequences will be the things that I'll face. I put out a tweet, I'll have a consequence. I know there'll be a consequence. I know there'll be things. But we have to deal with those consequences, because we have to stand up for something. We have to go out and make a choice. And you know in your heart why you're doing certain things. So those are choices that we always made. And I started, you know, Satya kick-started things and we started making films. And I realized after a while, Satya was the high point, but after Satya, everything was kind of going down again. You know, that spirit, somehow, if you see the whole cycle of things, everybody has this phase where things become easier for them. When things become easier for them, they also become easy. They also just start doing and churning out things without a drive. And it has happened a lot of time in my life. At Prithvi Theatre, when you realize Prithvi kind of opened up and all the strugglers and people started coming and hanging out at Prithvi, all they would talk about is what they could not get. All the actors from Delhi would talk about how can Shah Rukh Khan make it and we can't, we are better than him on stage. There was only resentment, there was only bitterness, there's only things. And every time atmosphere became like that, I chose to step out of that atmosphere. The next spot in Bombay became baristas, where everybody will sit and talk about resenting other people who are doing things. And it was only conversations. It was only conversation, which I also call a lot of people in the group who would sit there and who were very sharp and very well-read. And I used to call them the intellectual terrorists, who would like put so much peer pressure on others, and nobody would do things because they thought they were not great enough. The idea was to keep doing things. So I would step out of that zone, and that started happening around me. After a while, I realized that I'll always disagree with the final film that came out. It doesn't matter how I write it. Sometimes you'll realize later on that you are writing a script thinking it's an original script and somebody's borrowing it from somewhere. You know, you have no idea. So I decided that I'll only do dialogues. I'll not take credit for story screenplay. I'll only do dialogues which will fund my dream of making my movies. And I was ready to make a movie at any cost. And when I started making movies, I realized that it's a system that's so driven by stars that nothing will move till a star does not say yes. In a system like that, exists also because people are very insecure. They don't want to make a movie. They're doing business. They're businessmen. They want to make sure the money is safe before they put in there, and plus the fame and the glamour that comes with it. Welcome. And that's why they make movies. There are very few people who will put in their heart and soul and sell their houses to make a movie because that's what they want to do. And those people are often directors themselves. So they're not looking for other people. So when you go into the industry and wanting to make movies, I realize at a time, because they don't know what you're trying to do, you have to make it happen in a way it works for them. I decided I'll make my first movie. This was Panch, and I was ready to make it at any price. And when you say that, how do you make a film possible in that kind of money? Where do you spend money? We start with a basic question. Where do you spend money? You spend money on locations. You spend money on equipments. You spend money on things. So I decided I want to shoot the film, but I want to figure out how to go about minimizing cost. I decided to do an episode which was called Last Train to Mahakali. And I realized there was a digital camera was very new, and only MTV had a digital camera. And digital cameras, because they were new, they were very costly, and I could not afford it. So the guy who was in charge of the camera in MTV, everybody somewhere deep down wants to be an actor. So I went up to him and I said, you know, I've written this short film, I want to cast you for it. But I have a condition. I said, what condition? I said, your office shuts down, I want you to bring the camera, we'll shoot with it, we'll put it back in the morning. We shot 4 days, and that's how we made Last Train to Mahakali. And because of that camera, and I had no understanding of digital camera. My only thing I realized was that you don't need to use lights. My cameraman, who's now a very big cameraman, had only done news till then, and one or two videos, nutty. And we went around, and that's how we discovered the process of filmmaking. We decided to shoot in minimal possible conditions, is when everybody also sees the effort. And plus, I have to make it look big. I can't go and put out a film there, and I'm not going to stand outside every show, tell people, yaar, you know, humare paas paise nahi the, itne kam paise mein bani hai. When they go and pay the same amount of money for every movie they buy, they want the movies to look good. They want the movies to look big. It's not their fault if you didn't have money to make it. And in a country like ours, and really where we love cinema, I decided that who's going to stop me if I shoot anywhere? As long as I don't disturb them. So we devised a process of shooting where I said the entire Bombay is my set. My film is as big as the city is. I'll shoot anywhere. I'll shoot in the train. I'll not disturb anyone. We would sneak in to the running trains at times where people did not need it. We would stage our scenes. We'll shoot it. We'll get out. We never came in the way of anything. We started shooting in a very non-disruptive way. We started shooting with long lenses, like how wildlife cinematographers shoot wildlife. They're not in the face of the animals or the wildlife. They're not in the face of the tiger. They go away from a distance. They find them. They use long lenses. They have steady hands. They're very steady hands. And they observe them and they let them be. And they don't disturb it. Otherwise, you would not get. You can't direct an animal, okay, now eat and now attack. You can't do that. So they live their life and while you watch from a distance. And that's how we started shooting. When we were shooting Black Friday, I did not have money to recreate Bombay of 93. But Bombay in 2003, when we were shooting Black Friday, had changed. It had the hoardings of satellite TV. It had people carrying mobile phones. So you would step back. And I realized if you go too high to look down, it looks like a top angle shot. You can't have a whole film shooting like that. So we would go, we'll find a location little higher over the people's heads and shoot them from a distance. Never tell the actor where the cameras is. Never tell people there's a shoot going on. We would interact with hand gestures and nobody would come to know and would shoot and would get out. We devised a method like that. So our film started looking big. When we went to shoot Panch, they said, in this budget, you would rather shoot in the suburbs. I said, no, I want to shoot in the heart of Bombay because the film is about the city. We shot at Kala Ghoda. I said, we'll look for a place. We found an old dilapidated building and a house that was shut for many years. We went into the house and we said, we want to shoot here. And the house was in a very bad condition. I said, I'll clean up and I'll give you back the house that you can live in again. And you give it to me for free. We went in there, we cleaned up 28 bags of pigeon shit. We scraped the place, we painted the place, we made it relivable. Now it's a hotel. We made it like that, we got it for free. So, you know, there are things that you do to get your film made. And that's why our films cost so less. And when our costs were low, people were allowing us to make films. When my cost was so minimized, that would be the cost of less than a song that would cost. For a big budget film, a song would cost. That was the time Boni Kapoor shot a song for Shakti, which cost 3 crores. My entire film was 1 crore. I'm saying those things we started doing. And now, it's actually much more easier than that. We had big cameras, we had big equipments. And we would shoot like that. We started making movies. And my thing was, let Panch come out, I would like show the world. You can make a film without a star. And Panch never came out, I never got to show the world. So, you know, and then you make Black Friday. Black Friday got stuck. After a while, everything that you're trying to do starts to go wrong. And it's very easy to blame. It's very easy to stand up and say, the system doesn't, like, you know, respect my artist in me. The system doesn't respect my intention of making a film. And which I did after Panch. After Panch, I was sat in a room and I blamed everyone. And I abused everyone. And I did everything that was wrong. And then I learned. Then after Black Friday, when I finished the film, I did not stop. I started on my next. We were making Gulal. Nobody wanted us to make Gulal. It was for us to make Gulal. And I realized I have to shoot the city. The next lesson I learned was, if I have to shooting in the night. Now Jaipur is a city which lit up for 10 days during Diwali. We traveled 6 Diwalis year after year. And 10 days we shot Gulal. So, you know, so those are things. And we travel in train, we travel. When we were dealing with, and it's all management. It's also all management. We were shooting Black Friday and we had a massive cast. We had 300 people. And we were shooting in areas where jahan pe the hotel nahi the. You could not get great food. So we had biryanis packed. We found everywhere we would go, we found the guy who made the best biryani. Get the biryanis packed. We devised our schedule in a way where we were shooting in the day and traveling in the night. And we had luxury buses. So we never had to pay for a hotel. So we planned like that for 15 days and we traveled across Rajasthan and Maharashtra shooting like that. So that, you know, nobody would ever miss a hotel. And it always stems from you. If you stay like that, everybody stays like that. When you're shooting Gangs of Wasseypur, and we knew we wanted a bigger shot. We want that whole shot of a mountain blowing up. We had to find a quarry with a big mountain, find a time, what time is going to blow up. And the cost of that shot is probably, I don't know how, 5 crores, 6 crores, whatever that mountain would cost, which we got for 5,000 bucks. So we sat there and we waited for the mountain to blow up and take the shot. Sometimes you need that kind of patience. Sometimes you need to go do those things to live your dreams. Which is why I always say that I want to make that film. The world doesn't owe it to me. I want to do something, nobody owes it to me. And when I do something and I believe in it, I have to stand up and fight for it as well. Because I can't let somebody's insecurity seep in and stop me from doing something which I know I'm responsible enough to do it. If I can go through that much exercise and put myself through all those journeys to make that film and put it out there, then I'm also not going to let other people accuse me and stop me from doing it. So, I mean, those are the responsibilities that everybody has to take. And today, you know, today iPhone 7 has 4K camera. And there's so many people who walk up to me and say, I want to make a movie. I say, who's stopping you? Who's stopping you? You have iPhone 7. Park Chan-wook is shooting on iPhone 7. You see those amazing sequences in Black Swan. Darren Aronofsky, he shot it on iPhone 4 or 3. I don't know whichever was then. So I'm saying there's nothing that you can't do. There's a problem and every problem will have a solution. You have to first identify the problem. You have to know what you want. And that's how we have probably gone on living our lives. Then our point came when my films were not released in India. And I had distributors and everyone telling me, nobody wants to see your film abroad. I said, yeah, nahi release ho rahi hai, bahar to ho sakti hai. And my films are traveling to the festivals. Why are they not releasing outside? And they told me that nobody wants to watch your films outside. And I had been to 2-3 places. 2-3 festivals, and I saw an audience appreciating the film, and I would not believe them. And it took me years to figure out that our distributors only sell to the Indian diaspora. They only sell our movies to Indians living abroad. They don't know how to sell to a non-Indian. And they would not admit to it, because of which they say nobody wants to watch your film. So then I knew there's a gap to be filled, and I started traveling. I must have be the biggest buyer of my own DVDs. I bought my DVDs. I would take suitcases full of Black Friday DVDs and I would go to the biggest DVD shops in LA, in New York, and give it to them and for free. I said, whatever money you earn, you keep it. But sell these movies. And those movies were on display. I started pitching my films like that. Because I know my films would get into trouble, I would smuggle my own prints and put them in Princeton University with a friend who's a professor or somewhere else. Save all my films, put it outside. And I started doing that. And then finally in India also films started releasing. And then we had Udaan. When I went with... then we went to Venice Film Festival with Devdi and Gulal. And I realized there's a big market, the buyers who come to these big festivals. The buyers that I had not seen at the smaller festivals earlier on. Then next year, Udaan we made, and Udaan became that first film in years to go to Cannes Film Festival. And for us, it was like, finally, we can crack this market. Finally, we can go and sell our film. And nobody believed in Udaan. We made Udaan borrowing money from people. But when Udaan got into Cannes, UTV came on board. UTV picked up the film. UTV said, we'll distribute it. When we went to Cannes, and everybody, the worldwide market was interested in buying Udaan, UTV could not sell it because UTV's method of selling was the way they sell UP, Punjab, Rajasthan, Haryana. That's not how you sell France and Germany and Japan and whatever. Because there is no market that exists there. They don't watch Indian films. So we have to first create a market before we start selling the films. But they did not understand that. And Udaan, a movie that actually won so many audiences award, remains unsold across the world. And that became such a big setback and lesson for us. We did not know how to go about it. We did not know how to go beyond that. If we can't sell Udaan, which has won so many audiences award across the world, then what will we sell? And then we counted our resources. We had very little money. And I did 2-3 more ads, and I had a partner, Gunit Monga. And I told Gunit that we have to make a film in this less money, in that much budget. So whole Yellow Boots was written for that purpose. We said, we'll write a film. We wrote that girl in Yellow Boots. The film that could be shot in 13 days, we shot it in 13 days. Again, we used the same method. We shot it around Diwali so that we have a lot of light. We saved as much money as we could. And when we went outside India, we gave the film to every buyer and seller free. The idea was that because we own the film and nobody else owns it, the idea was to own the film. We owned the film, we gave it to everyone. I say, you know, you take the film, release it. If you earn money from it, keep it. And that remains still date the highest seen Indian film on television across the world. And that film started to open up our world market. The purpose, that film we did not release. If you see, most of my films had, after going to the festival, two years we sit on it. We don't release it. That film became the highest selling film, highest seen film on television world over, and that led to a lot of funding and marketing and investments from abroad. Then we made Lunchbox and Monsoon Shootout. All those films, monies were given to us from French government, from German government, and we started to bridge that gap. We started to sell our films outside. And that's how we overcame that area. Then we made another mistake. There came a year 2013 where we made far too many films. You know, we always, it's a cycle with everyone. You go, you're on a high, you make a mistake. Then you correct yourself again. This always happens. So 2010, Ulaan went to Cannes. 2013, we again made our next big mistake. We made too many films without seeing through. We had 5 films in Cannes, 2 of which remain unreleased till date. You know, then you realize that you're making a film and you have not seen it through. It's far too exposed. We have overpriced it because by then people wanted to buy our movies. And we made our films at a very low cost, but we started adding margin to it to sell it because, like, okay, finally let's make some money. Without understanding, the market has still not become that. Everybody loves Ulaan, but people who love Ulaan are the people who watch it on their laptops. People who love my films are the people who watch it on their laptops. They're still not generating revenue. When the films are not generating revenue, the market is not going to give me money. So for that, we have to figure out another thing. And 2 of our films remain unreleased. So, and it started to pile up. The pressure started to pile up. Our company crumbled. Then we started Phantom. Phantom, we decided we'll not do all those mistakes. We'll not make the mistakes. We started very well. Then we again became ambitious. We made Bombay Lutan Shandar in 1 year. We collectively lost, I think, the highest amount of money anybody lost in 1 year without ever having that kind of money. And then we had to go back to the table. We spent this last 1 year sitting on the table and writing and writing and writing, cutting down our costs. If you look at, say, an Udta Punjab, it's made at such low cost. I went back and I said, I want to make a darker movie. My studio tells me you can't spend more than 3 crores. I said, I can't make my movie look small. I'll shoot in 20 days and we made Raman Raghav. We made a dark movie, but we made it such a low cost, it can't lose money. So, you know, we again go back to table. That's whole life journey has been like that. You there's a problem, you find a solution, the solution works, it becomes effective, you get ambitious, you push little more, it fails. You come back to the table, you start again. The world doesn't owe it to you, you owe it to yourself. And that's all I want to tell you here. Thank you so much.
Hope you all enjoyed that. For more such remarkable ideas and journeys from India, check us out at joshtalks.com. You could also find Josh Talks on YouTube and Facebook, or even connect with us on Twitter. Our handle is Josh Talks India. See you next time.